IVM IVM
Hey everyone, this is your daily dose of everything that's happening in the world of NBA. I am Monish and joining me as he does always is Nishant and you're listening to The Airball Diaries. We are in the midst of our playoffs with almost all series having finished four games each, except the Boston and Brooklyn series. And I think in this case, the Brooklyn Nets are happy that it's not four because if they play four, they might probably be eliminated. We had tons of action over the weekend. Let's get started right into it.
Whether you're an established sports person or a budding one or simply a sports enthusiast, join us, Tanvi and Shlok.
We are two passionate pro badminton players talking policy, mindset and everything sport.
So tune in to the Millennial Athlete every Monday.
Only on the IVM Podcast Network.
Trust us, it's gonna be lit.
Okay, so what has been the biggest story for you so far in this playoffs? Has it been the Suns losing two games against the Pelicans? Because all of us predicted a clean sweep or at max a five-game series.
Yeah.
So Suns losing two was surprising, or is it that the Brooklyn Nets are 3-0 down after three games, which has been the biggest story for you? Or is it something else?
No, it's the Brooklyn thing. I picked Boston, I think so did you, to win.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we were thinking six, maybe seven games.
Yep.
This looks like a sweep now.
Yep.
And it's not even close. There were no nail-biting finishes. Yep. Well, kind of.
There was. I mean,
Boston
the first
still,
two games are close. Yeah,
but Boston at no point looked frenzied. If anything, Brooklyn looked frenzied, trying to get shots off at the last minute and stuff like that. It's the nature in which Boston are winning. They're shutting Brooklyn down. The only thing Brooklyn had going for them, they didn't have a defense, which is why we didn't pick them. The only thing they had going for them was that ridiculous offense of those two superstars. And Boston have just shut KD up in the series.
Yep. 9 of 24, 4 of 17 and 6 of 11. Those are KD's numbers and Kyrie as well. First game, he got 39 and we thought, wow, this is a series. The next two games, he got 10 and then he got 16. They've shut them out entirely. Jason Tatum has been on KD all the while. And I got some numbers for you. KD has been defended by Tatum 120 possessions this series. He's got 10 points, 2 of 15 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3, 10 turnovers and 2 blocks. This is when Tatum is guarding KD. Incredible. What's happening as Tatum just elevated to a level that we saw coming, but we didn't see coming this soon, or just an abrupt elevation from where he was to where he is now.
In fact, two seasons ago, he was almost this good. And somewhere it just, I think last season was an aberration for the Celtics. If you look at everything they did before that, it was solid and was building up to what it would, what it seemed like a certain chip at some point. And they're getting back on track now. If anything, this was just a course correction. Tatum was this good even 2 years ago. It just, the team's a little better shaped today than it was. And Tatum's just that much more experienced, I guess, in the playoffs to take on these guys. It's kind of sad for Durant. I thought I'll slip something in about him. LeBron's out of the playoffs. This is his one chance. This is going to be super controversial, but I've always thought Durant was a little overrated. That's not to say that takes nothing away from his all-time greatness. I'm saying if his all-time greatness puts him at top 10 all-time, people usually put him at top 7 all-time. I mean, in that sense, overrated.
Okay.
Spectacular, but still gets a little more praise than what somebody in that position should merit. Mm-hmm. Because for me, when Kobe was a three-time champ when he was 23, nobody gave him that kind of superlative credit yet. As a player, you got it. As an achiever, not yet. Because Jordan was 6, Kobe was 3, and Kobe had Shaq. All three of those rings came with Shaq as the MVP in the finals. So they said you have to win without Shaq to prove yourself. And he did it. It took a while. He was driven for years. It was just the one goal that he had. Came excruciatingly close in 09 and then back-to-back in 10 and 11. No Shaq. Had a great squad, but he was the leader. He was the face of the franchise and, of course, the finals MVP. So, now 5 rings. Okay, now you've got our respect. With Jordan's Jordan, of course. And with LeBron, you know, when he won it in Miami, which was after an all-time choke in one season, they were like, no, we've got to see more. It's just one chip. Then they won another and said, okay. But then they blew another one against Kawhi. So in four years, four trips to the finals, lost two and two. It's kind of a shaky thing. Plus, you kind of formed a super team. Shouldn't you have been 4-4? Was the commentary. So he goes back to Cleveland, takes down the Warriors, coming back from 3-1 down. And then people are like, all right, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Because two franchises you've done it, super team or not. And you've led in both those franchises, finals MVP, all the way. And then he carried them to the finals with nobody around. It's probably the greatest carry job in the world when Kyrie was out and Kevin Love was whatever done, dusted and injured. They got swept in the finals, but just getting them there was a monumental achievement. Yeah. That got him respect. And then a third franchise, and then you win a chip in LA with being the lead guy and the finals MVP, that seals it. Durant couldn't get it done in OKC, and that was a super team in its own right. Couldn't get it done. Walks out. Doesn't move people out, walks out, which always tends to get looked at as a slightly weaker move because the really powerful ones, they just move people around. Walks out, joins a 72-10 franchise. That's already won a chip. Sure, he was the best player on that team and a finals MVP, but you got two rings. For all the talk of just the greatest blah, blah, blah of all time, Allen Iverson scored like very few have scored before him. Nobody had that kind of skill set. It was hitherto unseen. We didn't talk about Iverson the way we talked about Jordan. Why does Durant get away with this? He's not a two-way player like Jordan is or Kobe was. Or a lot of like Garnett or like Shaq were among the bigger guys. Or like Giannis is today. Never really quite that. And the only two chips he has in a fully stacked Warriors team that he joined. It wasn't even that he built or developed or mentored. Then he moves out. This was it. Like Brooklyn was it. This was his, you get super team, you get whoever under the sun. If you lead Brooklyn to a chip, okay. You made the moves, you called the shots, you put a roster together. You could even finger pick, cherry pick your coach and you'd have him. And you did have him. You picked Nash, good for you. And if you can't get done, that's a problem. Now, three seasons, this is third season, right?
Second season.
All right. Two seasons in, Harden thing was a debacle. Kyrie, and his leadership looked suspect in all of this. That was the problem.
Yeah,
he said nothing, did nothing. I just stood by, did his thing, played very well. And now, I'm going to say it, he's choked in the first round of the playoffs this year. I don't care how well he's defended. Every superstar gets defended like that. He choked, plain and simple.
Yep. Hard to argue. Yes, exactly. That is the kind of attention every superstar gets, right? You put Giannis on the floor, you have three people defending Giannis all the time. You see Steph Curry, he literally gets bashed every game.
Luka and Trey get this much, man. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Come on.
Look at Trey, he's been shut down to 9 points. But we're not criticizing Trey because he's still Trey because he's still young and this is first real.
You don't expect him to win the chip. You expect KD to win the chip every year.
Exactly. KD is not Trey Young. So I get what you're saying. It's hard to argue that. So I'm with you on that. So it's a sweep then because the Nets looked like they gave up in game three.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah, it wasn't a good look. Kyrie then going and saying things like, oh, that team has been together for a while. We just started to gel. Well, guy, dude, who's responsible for that?
Oh, man. You've been in the league for a decade or more each, man. What are you talking about?
No, he meant like in terms of the season and playing well with your
team. Yeah, whatever. Whose fault is that? You could have got a vaccine. You could have played together. Whose fault is that?
Exactly. Let's move on quickly. Yeah. The Pelicans and the Suns, 2-2. Did you see that coming? Nobody saw that coming.
No way, man. What is going on?
That's been a super interesting series because even the game that Phoenix won were not one-sided. It was close all the while. We spoke about the ascension of Jason Tatum and you said that he was there. But this
man, McCollum.
McCollum has been amazing. Ingram, three consecutive 30-plus points, and he's been great on defense.
Yeah.
Talking about defense, how good has Herb Jones been? How good has Alvarado been that they've shut down the Suns entirely? Let's not forget that Booker is out, but still, this is a top-seeded team, top-seeded in the league, in fact. They finished on top by a big distance. They're not supposed to be losing two games to the Pelicans, who barely made it to the playoffs after a play-in game.
Yeah.
After two play-in games, because they're not even 7th or 8th.
Right.
CP3 shut down to 4 points in the game yesterday.
That's ridiculous.
What is happening? And I was listening to the Draymond Green podcast and he said the two best guys on the floor in this series is CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's not. What do you four points in a game? Just one out of four games also. If you come up with 4 points, you're the point guard. Yep, and you got due credit for your amazing performance in the previous game.
Right? Yep, yep.
So then you take the brickbats for this one. When you average it out across four games, I think that's fair. That's fair that Ingram and McCollum. Because Booker's injured, he's out, yeah. So you can't kind of put him in contention. For sure, it's these two guys. Look, I'm thinking of the Lakers right now banging their heads on walls. Ingram's wall in. Lonzo's done amazingly well this season.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On The Habit Coach, Ashton talks to Avantika Sinha, managing partner, leadership trainer, and coach at Stillwater Consulting. She shares five key mindsets that we all must imbibe in ourselves. The Simplified Gang look into the European Union's recent regulations to rein in tech companies. On The Filter Coffee Podcast, Karthik speaks with author Vasanthi about her new book, Ganga's Choice. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina decodes seven overrated concepts that we must do away with. And on Football Twaddle, Saru and Yash discuss how Arsenal always disappoints in the season. Do follow us on social media. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And remember, if you're enjoying this show or any of our other shows for that matter, please do tell a friend. Also, please don't forget to rate us on any of the platforms you're listening to us on. And remember, you can always check us out on YouTube. We have a number of channels. You can go to ivmpodcast.com/YouTube to take a look at what those channels are. We're also doing a small listener survey to understand how you respond to our shows and the advertising on the network. We would really, really appreciate it if you could spare a few minutes to fill it out. It really helps us build better shows for you and understand what you're looking for from advertising and what we can talk to advertisers about who you are. Please go to ivmpodcast.com/survey. It really, really, really would help us out. Thank you so much. And finally, would like to thank our sponsors for the network this week, SBI Life Insurance, India Water Portal, and Jupiter, a digital banking app. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Is there an upset looming here? You think Phoenix Suns will win too easily and should be over, or the Pelicans really are going to make it tough for them and probably an upset looming here? Especially if Booker doesn't come back, right?
Yeah, if Booker doesn't come back, it looks tough the way the Pelicans are playing. It's almost like they smell blood at this point.
Yeah.
And this is a good part. So, you know, I don't pick unproven teams in the playoffs unless it's something spectacularly special that I'm seeing. Which Pelicans, I mean, they finished 9th or 10th or whatever. They haven't shown us that yet. So it's very tough to pick them. But the flip side to that, though I still won't pick these teams going forward, is sometimes they don't know better. They don't feel the pressure because they really don't know what it feels like to walk home.
Two rookies just breaking havoc there on defense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They don't know better. They don't know. I mean, sometimes as an experienced defender, like, do I get too close? Do I commit to one side? Do I swipe right now? What if he sucks me in for a foul? What if I get played? What if he crosses me over? What if Trae Young nutmegs me? There's too many ifs because you've learned hard lessons and had hard knocks. These guys have had nothing. So they're just going all out at Chris Paul.
There's no reputation to protect as such.
Yeah. But it's up to Chris Paul. I mean, if anyone can break out of these things, it's Chris Paul. But now it's, I mean, ball's firmly in his court. They're going to play like, it's like Batman and Bane. You know, Bane says, you fight with the aggression and blah, blah, blah of a young man, but you lack finesse and pacing yourself. That's the Pelicans' defense right now. Chris Paul's got all the pacing and the finesse in the world. It'll make them pay. Yeah. But yeah, this looks tight. I think game seven. I don't know. If Booker doesn't come back, it looks tough right now.
I agree. And I think the teams on the other side of the bracket will be enjoying this. Especially the ones who are supposed to face them, right?
Yeah.
Luka and Utah. That series is tough.
They got their own problems.
Yeah, they got their own problems. 2-2. That's the close series along with Memphis and Minnesota, who's also 2-2. Yep. Donovan Mitchell finally passing to Rudy Gobert. He averages two passes to Rudy Gobert a game, and
game
one was a
pass.
game-winning pass. Exactly. How do you see that series going, Dallas and Utah?
I love the fight Utah are putting up. I thought they were done. Without Luka, they were winning games. Luka and Ja Morant, it's curious. They go out for a few games, the teams play so well, and they come back, and then they lose. I think it's just the adjustment thing. I won't read too much into it with either team. It's a tight fight. I would still expect the Mavs to hold nerve through to the end. I think they can create more offense. They've got more players that can take shots.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Utah's defense goes. I thought they defended the Mavs excellently well. They knew Luka will get the ball. Double teamed him, trapped him. Gave him no room to shoot. And that's kind of where Luka's inexperience, very rarely it gets exposed, but it got exposed there. because the second you see that trap, you know it's over. There's like 4 seconds on the clock to shoot. You've got to get the ball out of your hands. And that's what the Jazz want also. They double team for one very specific purpose. Gobert called it out post-game. Get the ball out of Luka's hands. Somebody else is beating us. They did, but it was too late. Luka chucked it almost in desperation to Dinwiddie. There was like 0.9 on the clock. And a defender in his face. There's no way that shot was going in.
Rudy Gobert on his face.
No, Gobert was on...
Gobert was the one who leaped out at Dinwiddie.
Okay. So that is not going to happen. So if Jazz can bring that kind of defensive intensity, then they have a shot. But even in that game, they only brought it in patches. Like, rewind a minute before that, Luka was shooting floaters, for fun. No contest. So, I still favor the Mavs, but it looks like this is going to go the distance. 6 games, 7 games, who knows?
Agreed. One last thing before we leave for today. Memphis, Minnesota, your pick on that? I know you said Minnesota in 7. Still sticking with that? It's a close series. It could swing either way.
It's close. It's close at this point because Cat has sucked and I didn't factor that in.
Yeah.
He had a good game in the recent one.
Yep.
But before that, he has sucked. Like, it's been Anthony Edwards carrying them probably through and through. That I didn't expect. I thought Cat, D'Lo, and Ant, that's a handful. But I guess sometimes balancing all three is also a handful, and that's the coach's headache. So they're like a new F1 team. They're just figuring it out with each race as it goes right now. Timberwolves. But it's exciting and I want to see more of it.
I love the team. The pace of that of that series has been incredible. Team just running here and there, here and there. But too many free throws, I think. I think the refereeing has been kind of suspect in that series. But we'll see how it goes. 7 games.
But I'm sticking with Minnesota for now. Let's see.
Yeah, it could swing either way. I'm sticking with Memphis, but I think it could swing either way. I won't complain if Minnesota win. Well, that's all. I don't expect any surprises in the Sixers, Raptors, Milwaukee Bulls, Heat Hawks, or the Warriors Nuggets. All of them are 3-1. 3-1 is a tough challenge to overcome. It's been done before, but I don't think it'll be done in either of these series. But that's all on today's episode. I'll come back and talk to you soon. Have fun watching the playoffs.
All right, man. Cheers. Bye. Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to check out our other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcasts.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on our social media. We're at IVM Podcasts on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to us, and you know you do, you know you want to reach out to us and tell us that our opinions on your favorite players are trash. You want to tell us Magic Johnson is still better than Steph Curry and you don't think Steph Curry has changed the game. For all that and more, reach out to us on both Instagram and Twitter.
If you love cricket, listen up. The Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast is here for you. Hosted by DJ, Varun, and me, Ashwin, we bring a fun, fresh, fans point of view to talking all things cricket. Sometimes it's just the three of us, sometimes we have guests, including current and former international cricketers. For new episodes every week, check out the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast on the IVM app, website, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Working Monday to Friday, glued to your chair, making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.